Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. I am Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show, joined by Lydia Molinera. So Lydia's got a podcast on our channel, which is called Mom's Healthcare Navigator, and where she cuts through the confusion and brings clarity to healthcare, one conversation at a time. So today is episode 5, and we're diving into something that touches millions and millions of families. Managing chronic conditions. So, whether you're a caregiver, a concerned loved one, or you're managing a chronic condition yourself, this episode is going to be packed with practical tips, misunderstood truths, and insights to help you navigate the daily realities with more confidence and fewer preventable setbacks. So, grab your notebook and take a deep breath, and let's get into it. Lydia, welcome back to the show.
Thank you once again for allowing me to share more knowledge on your platform.
Well, we love you. The audience loves you. I guess there's two of us here. I don't know who the we is. I don't know if there's somebody sitting next to me. The collective we. But can you introduce yourself for everyone?
Sure, I'm a pharmacist of over 30 years. I used to own and operate pharmacies, so I saw behind the scenes and all of the different levels of government and how all of that worked and decisions being made, right from the drug companies and all the way down to when the pill was dispensed and handed out. And I then became a certified patient safety officer because I really wanted to look more into how do we prevent errors from happening, not just on the healthcare professional side. But like you said, we, in the collective sense, how we all can do that. And that's really where my passion lies. And it was because I experienced this when I was a pharmacist, just had graduated in the sense, had my 9-month-old baby in the hospital, and I went through some of this. And my thought at the time was, what about all the other moms who don't have my knowledge? How would they have handled this? What could they have done? And so that's really what has motivated me and prompted me to continue advocating and spreading awareness on how moms need to protect themselves and have these tools in order for their families to thrive in healthcare situations rather than be scared, be prepared.
Yes. And remind everyone, what was our last episode about?
What we really dove into was a lot of the intricacies in the advocacy piece, the communication piece. We went in through the navigating insurance pieces, and then we looked at, how do you apply these in day-to-day situations? And I think that's really the key thing. There are principles, but then you can also dive into using them on a day-to-day basis at every healthcare encounter. And I think the other part is when we talk about doing this in healthcare, we're also talking about doing this with naturopaths or wellness experts. It really isn't just the traditional system. It's all the systems in healthcare that you need to use these skills in.
Yes, amazing. And I think today's topic is going to hit home for a lot of people and give a lot of people the tools or, give them information that they just might not have. Because so many people are dealing with chronic illnesses. Some people don't even know they're dealing with a chronic illness. So this might shed some light on that for people as well. So yeah, let's get into it.
Sure. So why don't we start with just kind of like, what do we mean by chronic illness? Because,
Yes, I love that.
is that just, I need an antibiotic, so now it's a chronic condition? No, chronic means repetitive. Something that is either genetic, from right from birth, or it was passed on through the genes and it's something that needs to be monitored, or it's a condition like asthma, like diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is prevalent in children. We now see type 2 diabetes rising in children. So that's something that isn't going to just go away. It's something that has to be managed every day. And that's what we mean by chronic condition. It's something that's going to be managed every day. It can be as simple as eczema, all the way to something like diabetes, managing heart conditions. That the whole gamut is what we consider a chronic condition.
Okay, so something like autoimmune, is that chronic condition?
Sure, because you're going to be dealing with those signs and symptoms and condition of, potentially, in an autoimmune condition, having swelling in the joints or things like that. So it's a chronic, everyday condition that needs to be assessed, treated, monitored, labs have to be done, that kind of idea.
Okay, and you have a stat here for us that I was just completely blown away by. So, approximately 133 million people live with at least one chronic condition. 133 million people. That's a lot of people that are managing a chronic condition.
Yeah, so basically it's a third of the US population, and we see that
Wow.
worldwide. Yes, it's something where we don't consider that, right? We don't think about that per se. But when you're a healthcare professional and you're in that setting, you see it every day. So it's something that we become accustomed to. We understand that a lot of people are dealing with chronic conditions, and moms, especially with their children, are dealing with this on top of every other daily activity and things and stress that have to go on a day-to-day basis, just in parenting alone. Sometimes there's chronic conditions that need to be handled and managed as well. So it's how do you do that in a very organized manner so that it doesn't become an extra stressor and so that things don't slip by you. That's the key.
Yeah, so we're gonna, you mentioned you're gonna talk about asthma today and relate that to, how a parent can manage that. So, yeah, let's get into that a little bit. Do you want to talk about treatment plans?
Sure. So the very first thing that's going to happen is there's going to be a subset of signs and symptoms, and then you're going to
Okay.
go investigate those and you're going to find a treatment plan. So now you are diagnosed with a chronic condition and there's treatment plans based on that chronic condition that have, what I say, evidence-based, that have been around, we've tried, we've tested, we know that these things can work. It still has to be individualized to the person, but these are the strategies that we use to manage this condition. So you need to understand what exactly is the treatment plan for your child or for yourself. What is that treatment plan? What does it look like? Medications twice a day, therapy once a day. Like, what is it? So determining the treatment plan and understanding the treatment plan are two parts to that. So, what is the treatment plan? And when you get the treatment plan, actively engage. Why that treatment plan? Any other tests? Any other things? Any other lifestyle things we should consider? Are there any other, monitors that we should be putting in place? Technology that we can help to guide us to watch for signs and symptoms? Things that we need to go back to emergency for? What is the treatment condition plan? And then monitoring it. So now you have a subset of things. We're going to use this medication. It's a red, yellow, green zone. What is those zones? What do we do in those situations? How do we prevent those from happening? How do we manage them when they happen? So then you have a complete, what I would like to say, blueprint of the chronic condition. And that's what you need. Because when you have that full scope of information, you're not trying to figure out at the moment when there's a crisis what to do, right? You have a plan. You know, when this happens, I'm supposed to go to eMERGE. When this happens, I'm going back to the doctor. When this happens, I speak to the pharmacist. So who's your care team? What's the blueprint? And what do you do in those situations? And some might come up and you just don't know. That's when you have to say, who do I call? Who should I pick up the phone to call? And it's not wrong. If you call the pharmacist and the pharmacist says, this is something you need to speak to your physician about, let me help you with that. I can do that, or I can send a note. That's okay. Just go to your team. Don't try and second guess it or figure it out on your own. So that's what I call sort of establishing the treatment plan, being a part of making that treatment plan. And the second piece is managing it, following up on it, and knowing the blueprint of that treatment plan. Those are the two things you need to do. When you get that treatment plan and that diagnosis, the other part is educate. Really understand what is this chronic disease? What is this condition that I am going to have to learn in order to manage? And there are certain situations where you're going to know more about that condition and how it affects your child than anyone else. And that's fine. And that's where you communicate those concerns. You communicate that information so it doesn't get lost between providers. Because you might go see an ear, nose, and throat specialist and they haven't gotten the entire chart. So now you want to communicate those concerns. You might go see the dentist to try and see if there's something wrong with the, the jaw alignment. And that's what's causing some issues and creating worse situations in the asthma, whatever that looks like, or nasal congestion or mouth breathing. So these are the reasons why you want the blueprint and you have them and you communicate that with each healthcare professional. It's really important that you do that. And this is how you inform yourself in such a way where now if someone is about to do something and no, that's not the right medication, we don't use that because of this, then you prevent the error. And that's the importance of knowing the plan.
I love that. I love that you say have a team of people to call and don't Google it, because I've made the mistake of Googling it and then I feel like I go down a rabbit hole. So that's just a silly joke. But yeah, it's so important to have like your team of people. And so if A happens, then you have someone that can help you with that, navigate that, because having a chronic illness, there's so many facets to it and it's not easy. And you need people to be able to help you with that. So great, great information. Now, what about medication adherence? How important is that?
Well, when we talk about this blueprint, you're going to likely have medications. Number one therapy in the world, really, in treating conditions, especially chronic ones, is medications. They help us manage the signs and symptoms that we experience. So in asthma, you're going to likely use an inhaler. You might even use prednisone, which is a steroid medication, a nasal steroid. There's different medications. So when you miss a medication, or you give it at the wrong time, or you give it with something that it shouldn't be given, and it in effect has a drug food interaction or a drug drug interaction where the two mix and then it doesn't work properly, you're not getting the benefit of that plan. So you really want to make sure when you're speaking to the pharmacist that you understand how the medication works and that you come up with a strategy for your own self to make sure either a timer or, in some smartphones, there's actually apps that you can give yourself where you can beep, and set the times for those medications to be given. You have to give clear instructions if the child is going to daycare or to school on how that medication needs to be given. There's things like, if the child has asthma and they're prone to an allergy where they become anaphylactic, let's say to nuts, they have an EpiPen. Does the child know how to use the EpiPen? Does a caregiver, teacher, principal, who knows how to use the EpiPen if they're at school or in the daycare, or if there's a babysitter or a grandparent? These are critical things that you need to discuss. Play dates. I've seen the situation where one of the moms ran into the pharmacy and said, I'm helping. This is a play date, and this child has asthma, and he's, I think there was nuts in the cookies that we gave him, and now he's having a,
Right.
and I don't know what to do, but you're 2 minutes away, so I came here. And I can remember I had to administer the EpiPen and call 911 because
Right.
the mom that was looking after these kids' play date didn't really know what to do. And so, bring that information when you're dealing with all of these situations because it's really important that the people around you know how to help manage those medications as well. And when we talk about adherence, basically we're meaning stick to the schedule. What's the best way for you to stick to the schedule? And sometimes it's complicated. Some conditions, they require 7 or 8 medications. And so how do you manage that? And how do you manage the side effects? Those are where the pharmacist is there. That's where I say use them. They know this information. They can help you with pill boxes. They can help you with alarms. They can help you with, there's something called meter dose inhalers, but there's something called aerochambers so that it's like a mask and it goes right over the face. And it's so much easier for children to use when they're using their inhalers. So there's lots of tips and tricks that the pharmacist can help with medications as well.
And so, Lydia, if someone's taking a medication for a while, should you be expecting changes, or can changes happen and maybe you need a different medication after a while? Like, You're stable for a while, but then things change. Do medications start working differently as our bodies change?
It depends on the medication. So yes, that can happen. You know,
Okay.
we could, as we age or as we get older, sometimes asthma conditions can subside, or diabetes. If you go for more walks or you eat healthier, you could now not require as high a dose with your blood pressure. Same thing. If you're going for walks, doing more exercise, your blood pressure could come down, or the opposite. You know, if you're gaining weight, your blood pressure could go higher and you need to add. So there's all these different factors, and that's why it's called monitoring. The second part of the treatment plan is monitoring it. So it's not set in stone. This literally is a journey. So it is a part of day-to-day life when you have a chronic condition, and managing that is going to mean every day checking in on those zones. What's the red zone? What's the yellow zone? What's the green zone? Do I continue with what I'm doing? Do I have to escalate to find out, or do I have to get immediate help at this point? That's my red zone. So knowing your zones and understanding your conditions, and when things change, you know, you could get a cold and now your asthma is so much worse.
Right.
So now you would have to escalate to see, okay, now maybe my child might need a dose of steroids to help this, or I can add something else instead. I know what my yellow zone is when this happens. So that's
What
where.
is yellow zone? What is yellow zone?
So when we talk about the green zone, it's kind of like status quo. Everything is going okay. Here are my
Okay.
medications. Things are going okay. No exasperation. So I'm not having an asthmatic attack. I'm not feeling congested or wheezing. Things are okay. Get into the yellow zone. It's kind of like that's the next phase, where now it's like, you know, caution, right? It's like a yellow light. It's like you got to slow down. You got to take note. You got to have some caution in this. And then red means literally stop and go get help, because now not breathing right, can't gas, I'm gasping for air, you know, anaphylactic reaction. That's all kind of 911 or emergency, or get to the doctor right away. So those zones happen in every single chronic condition. You know, you have diabetes and you look at your levels of sugars, hyper, hypo, or normal, right? So, like, where are we at in that zone? So that's a really good, easy way to think about your chronic condition. What zone am I in? And if I am, I'm continuing my status quo. If I notice things change, I go into my yellow zone, because you want to prevent the red zone.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's talk about action plans.
So your action plan basically is what you do in each of those zones, right?
Okay.
So understanding, this is what I'm doing in my green zone. I'm taking my medication. This is how I'm taking it. This is what I'm doing. These are my signs and symptoms that I'm monitoring. Anything changes and I get into my yellow zone, what's the plan? So, how do I manage my yellow zone? What am I doing? What are the strategies? And then in my red zone, why is it a red zone? What is the, oh, I need to go and get help. What is that? What does that look like? But different than the yellow or the green zone, right? So as a mom, you know, your child is now, you know, has asthma, and you can recognize, you can start to hear them wheezing. Okay, that's yellow. That means I have to add this, or I have to do this. Red, what does that mean? Oh, they're really not breathing well. Or, you know, I notice that at night they're not sleeping well, they're waking up, they're coughing a lot more. What does that look like? So that's where you have to understand your action plan is connected to the signs and symptoms when it comes to chronic conditions.
Okay, so let's talk about leveraging technology then. So is there a way to, include technology in our care plans?
Absolutely. So one of the key things is with medications, there is, like I said before, on smartphones, there's lots of applications right in some of the iPhones. There's ways to list your medications for them to come up, and then it alarms you. You can put signs and symptoms. You can find applications from different associations. So, like the Asthma Association or Migraine Association, the diabetes, where you can track your blood pressure, your, you know, insulin levels, the amount of wheezing or anything like exacerbation wise, the things that go wrong with your breathing, you can track that. If you're on oxygen, you can track your levels, when, you know, what is the amount that you're getting and how that's working. So there's different applications that you can actually track these things to make it easier. Worst case scenario, you get a notebook and you write down, you did the date, and you write down signs, symptoms, and what that looks like, and you keep a record. So there is technology to take it beyond a notebook, but also that is available to you. The other one that we now have had since COVID is virtual visits. So a lot of times we can't physically get in to speak to the doctor, or there isn't an ability to do this. Sometimes you can find virtual appointments with pediatricians or with other physicians or specialists, and sometimes they'll do a virtual consult with you if you're getting into the red zone, so you can speak to someone and they can see and hear the child. They don't have to physically touch the child on some of these situations. And you should know that. Can I do a virtual consult? Because some doctor's offices do that for you. And there are some places that you can do that. So it helps with, I can't get a babysitter for my other child, and I can't take this child. And what do I do? So those are some resources that you can put into place because of the technology we have today.
Beautiful. I remember downloading the cycle, Women's Cycle app, and it was nice. Like week two, it's like, don't eat whatever, stay away from this. This is how you should be feeling. And it just like assisted me so I could, optimize my body and just like feel good based on what my hormones were doing that week. So, yeah, technology is a beautiful thing.
It really is and has come a long way compared to what we used to be able to do compared to now. So, and it's all available to us, that there's not a huge cost to this. A lot of these applications are free. Some of them are provided by associations, by state government, websites. So it's a lot that's available that isn't costly or at free. It's no cost at all.
Amazing. Let's get into the role of nutrition and exercise.
So we know that chronic conditions usually worsen with stress. So that's probably we understand that flare-ups happen when there's more stress. So
As I
how
deep breathe deeply,
do
you just made me take a deep breath.
So really understanding your ability and what you can and should do with your medical condition and chronic condition, it's really important to know that. So, there are some people who, after a stroke or a situation like that, where, physical therapy and exercise is really important to keep things moving along. For a child who has asthma, if it's exercise-induced asthma, then you got to be aware of that. And what parameters do you need to be put in place if, an asthmatic child joins a running club? It doesn't mean that they can't. It means that there's parameters that need to be put in place so that, two, three puffs before they run, or they have a puff in between a mile, whatever that is for that child. So exercise and eating well, we know when the body is at its optimal, it's going to have reduced signs and symptoms from that chronic condition. But you have to also understand that not everyone is going to be able to run a marathon with a chronic condition. So slow and steady in this, no pun intended, wins the race, right? So really understanding, what does it look like for me, for my particular body, for my particular situation? What is it that I can do on a day-to-day basis to optimize? What is the best way for me to help my body with this condition? That's what you need to put into place.
And that would we like consult a dietitian, or how would we go about that, like relating our chronic condition to food and lifestyle? Where can we get advice on that?
Well, physicians do learn about this, despite all the hype that physicians don't know anything about nutrition and exercise. They do know about managing a healthy lifestyle, just like a pharmacist was taught this. Now, we are not dietitians. A doctor is not a dietitian. A pharmacist isn't a dietitian. And so there are experts, and dietitians are those experts. So they would be able to advise on what is the best lifestyle, dietary needs that you need to meet. If you have low iron, for instance, or your child has low iron, what are iron-rich foods that you should put in place? How do you manage that? If you have allergies to certain medications, would you have potentially allergies to certain foods? And if you do, what could you offer instead? So, peanut butter is a main example. Lots of people are allergic to peanut butter. So what's an alternative? Well, there's pea butter, right? Made out of peas. So sorry, the same texture, kind of the same taste. It kind of does the same thing, but it's that. So there's lots of things that dietitians can help with. And then when you look at exercise, there's also, physical trainers, physiotherapists, they can also help and assist with that. And there are some situations where, insurance and benefit providers offer this through your insurance and through benefits, especially if you have a chronic condition. So look into those things. Try and get, like I said before, your healthcare team there for you. And that includes people in lifestyle scenarios. And we really need to bring that whole team together to help.
Amazing. And so, what is the importance of regular monitoring of these chronic conditions like asthma?
Well, again, one of the most critical things in monitoring is how is the treatment plan working? So if we say two puffs twice a day, and then you're noticing wheezing after 3 or 4 hours, two puffs might not be enough, or that particular medication might not be working properly. Or if we say, you know what, let's try and do walking for 15 minutes every day. But when you walk those 15 minutes every day, you notice that there's a lot of swelling. And so maybe it shouldn't be walking 15 minutes. Maybe it should be swimming. Maybe there's something different. So what you need to do is track this, because when you see the physician and they say how it's going, you want to be clear. Okay, I tried this. I walked for 15 minutes. This is what happened. I walked for 20 minutes. This is what happened to my insulin levels. I did this. This is what happened. When I went for a run and I have asthma, I was able to run for a kilometer, a mile, but then this started to happen. I did this and it didn't resolve. Or I did this and it did resolve. Is there something I could do differently? What's bothering you? That's the critical thing. What's bothering you? Write it down. And then present it to the care team.
Beautiful. So, what about support systems?
Really important. I mean, it's overwhelming when you're diagnosed or when your child is diagnosed with a chronic condition, because now you have to put a subset of things in every day. It's not just, wake up in the morning and let's make sure your face is washed, your hair is brushed, and we brush your teeth. It's other things. Make sure that you've got your medication. Make sure that we're doing whatever those things are. They're added in your day-to-day routine. So it's really important to find support systems. Why? Because you feel overwhelmed, you feel drowning in all the information, and other people who have gone through it can give you some tips and some information that's critical to helping you manage. And then the second part to that is moms, we don't always put the mask on first, like we do, like they say on the airplane, put yours on first. We try and do everything for everyone, and then we end up having a situation where our self-care is at jeopardy. So managing for everyone else or managing this for a child means that we too, as the caregiver, can have caregiver stress. So being able to speak to other moms, being in those support groups, and just having each other saying, you know what, I know, was it a tough day for you today? It was a tough day for me too. Just having that support within your own family or with an online resource or an online community or, a chapter community. There's different associations like the asthma associations, diabetic associations, heart and stroke associations. They have so many resources and they can help guide as well as give you that community support.
There's something so powerful about normalizing, and talking about things with a group of people that are going through the same thing. So that can be really empowering. And you never know who you're going to meet or what you're going to learn, right? Maybe you're doing something that someone else may benefit from, or vice versa. So I love that so much. So what about educational resources?
So again, when we look at educational resources, I always say that it's so important that you're learning from transparent and clear resources and ones that have evidence-based studies connected to them. So when we look at the whole wellness cycle and world, that I'm not trying to suggest that that's not going to work, but if someone is saying use this herb, it's going to cure asthma, be cautious, because if they're selling the herb, is that why the article's written for you to buy the herb and it's going to cure, but Is it going to cure asthma? We don't have a cure for asthma. So is it going to reduce the signs and symptoms, or can it aggravate that? So you really have to ask those same appropriate questions. So I like to say use government websites, or use trusted websites. Like I always go back to Medline or the Mayo Clinic, look at those resources, and go to the associations. They have the best knowledge. They've got all kinds of information, and it's not biased like we would think. Oh, it's biased from a drug company. Associations typically are not-for-profit associations. They're not biased by anyone. They're there to provide support. That's why they are there and created. So really look at some of those resources where they can also provide you information on, costs of medications, how to get some of those things covered, how to navigate through the insurance system to get things covered. They have those types of resources as well.
Yeah, so it's so important to validate what we're reading online because there's so many things. So yeah, going to a credible resource is so important. And if you're still not sure, then like you said, go talk to your pharmacist, your doctor, just to clarify, because there's nothing worse than finding something out and then doing it and it not even being real. Our website or the internet, sorry, is filled with all this information, and we have to make sure that what we're reading is real.
Well, and it also can create further problems. And so that's the
Totally.
critical thing to this, is you could be following something and then it could have an interaction with a medication you're taking, but
Right.
the person wouldn't know that because they don't have a knowledge base to know that. They're just selling a particular product, but they don't understand that you're already using a steroid or you're using an inhaler, and that's going to interact with it and make things potentially worse. We have seen people come into the hospital because of using, these wellness products, I would say, that sometimes they are not even like coded properly. They don't have a USP number. They don't have an NP number. These are numbers that mean that that product says what's inside the bottle is actually what's outside on the label. So some of these products don't even have that. And so what are you actually getting when you have these products? It's not as regular. So we're very concerned about prescription drugs. Yes, but they are regulated to a certain point, right? Like they are and have to meet criteria. Whereas things that are available just, anywhere in the sense without these numbers on them, we don't know what's inside them. So I don't know why we sometimes believe that that's more credible. It's a balance of both. You have to take some of that information and go back to your healthcare team, and they can explain. They could be like, you know what? Why don't you give it a try? It's not going to hurt anything at this point. So give it a try. But if they say, oh, no, that interacts with this, I wouldn't do that, then you're empowered. You have that knowledge and you can make a proper decision.
Right. So, Lydia, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you if they're looking for more information, a little bit about your website and about the services that you provide?
So my website is my name. So it's www.lydiamolinero.com. On Instagram and on my other social reels, it's at Moms Healthcare Navigator. And I am currently just literally this morning finished my ebook. So it's just a short little summary of everything that we've discussed from A to A, C, and E included in there. And I'm working on my course, and I'm also working on ensuring that more information comes out in way of this podcast.
Amazing, amazing. And by working on your course, you're developing a course where basically everything that we've discussed in these last five podcast episodes is going to be all neatly laid out so we can take a deeper dive and learn the tools to navigate our healthcare system, correct?
Absolutely. I just, it kills me in some ways because I just think to myself, how were we not taught this? Like why and how did this slip through our entire educational system, our entire system when we learn about medications and chronic diseases and things like that? We don't have in a lot of ways a caregiver, a mom guide, so that we can confidently navigate healthcare. And I just really am very passionate about bringing those tools in place because I understood firsthand what it meant for my own daughter's safety.
Yeah, Lydia, and you're sitting here speaking, and I'm like, why haven't I met Lydia sooner? So this is your mission. You're gonna educate everybody. So This is that there's a reason why we weren't taught it, because now it's up to you to, deliver the message.
And thanks very much for having me use the platform to continue to spread awareness. I'm truly honored.
Well, we love having you on the show. And do you want to leave our listeners with one last little tidbit of advice regarding chronic illness?
I think the key thing is it can be managed. A lot of times we look at the diagnosis as, oh no, this is terrible. What do I do now? Change the tone, change the trajectory of that. It's going to sound elementary, but it's another thing that I can accomplish, another thing I can do for my family, another thing I can do for myself. And that way, our entire family health is navigated, protected, and optimized.
Beautiful. Well, Lydia, this was amazing. Thank you so much for being back. And I learned a lot again. So I'm looking forward to the next episode.
Thanks very much.
All right. And thank you for all tuning in. Before we go, I just want to thank our sponsors, Spreaker and iHeartRadio, because without you, this conversation would not be possible. Thanks, everyone. And until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor.